Hello, everybody, and welcome to our service of Holy Communion. And today in our service, we're going to be thinking about God's call on our lives. We're going to be thinking about what that might mean or what it might look like. And it follows on from last week's service, all about the baptism of Jesus. And we discover that we can find such purpose in our lives if we dedicate our daily lives to living for God. Just a few notices for the week that is to come. On Tuesday evening at 6:30, the Select Vestry will be meeting over Zoom. And at that meeting, the register of vestry persons will be opened. If you would like to register to become either a resident or a custom member of the parish, and there is the opportunity to do that through the website, through the Facebook page, and there'll be details in our parish magazine. Also on Wednesday evening, our Alpha course is continuing. There's still time to join if you'd like to join with us, and the details are on the notices page, which will be on your screen. And on Thursday evening at 7:00, the parish prayer meeting takes place again over Zoom, and the details are on that page. Next Sunday, our online service will be a service of morning prayer. And as we worship together today, our opening hymn is a hymn that explores that idea of God's call upon our lives, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
The stars of night, I will make the darkness.
Our service today is the service of Holy Communion. We pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we respond to God's forgiveness with the canticle Gloria in Excelsis. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Our special collect prayer for today's service, the second Sunday after the Epiphany. We pray for personal renewal in our lives. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1, as we hear the Lord calling Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hear the words of the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to St. John in the first chapter, beginning to read at the 35th verse. "Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Kephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now we're going to hear another hymn that speaks of God calling in someone's life. Speak, O Lord.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built as the earth is filled. with your glory.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you turn in almost any direction as you walk through the Bible, you will find a call story. And it will describe how some person, often living in obscurity, was overcome or startled by some compelling message from heaven that completely redirected life into something purposeful. And if we've had personal experience of seeing God calling people, either in the Bible or perhaps somebody that we actually know personally, we usually see people responding to that call in a variety of ways. Some people do things like pursue ordination. Others, like Jonah in the Bible, put a metaphorical pillow over their heads and they go in completely the opposite direction to which they were called, in the hope that that call will somehow go away. But the vast majority of people seek to answer God's call by changing how they live their more or less ordinary lives. And so responding to God's call involves asking some really fundamental questions. Questions like, is this call that people hear about changing who you are? Is it about becoming a kinder or a more spiritual person? Or is it about changing what you do? Is it about looking for a new job, about maybe getting more involved in church or taking on some new activity? And exploring God's call also involves asking, what does God want from us? And how do we then comply with his wishes? And it would seem to me that what a lot of Christians are missing in their lives is a sense of vocation. And this beautiful word, vocation, means a call or a summons, so that having a vocation means more than having a job. It means answering a specific call and doing what one is meant to do. And immersed in the working world of manual work or business or finance and the domestic world of household and family, I think it's hard for a lot of us to get our heads around this and to see the way that our lives could have anything to do with the life of God. Our lives seem so ordinary and so mundane, perhaps, to us. How could they possibly have anything to do with the life of God? And yet, because it is such an important subject, I wanted to just pluck a few things from our two very different call stories today, which we heard in our Bible readings. In the first one in the Old Testament, we heard about the boy Samuel ministering in the temple. And you might remember from the story of Samuel that his mother Hannah, who had no children, prayed and prayed that she might conceive. And she said that if she was blessed with a child, she would return that child to the Lord's service in the temple. And it was a time, we're told, that the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. People had in large numbers turned away from the Lord and they were leading independent lives. And in many ways that sounds very similar to our own day. Not many people seem to be receiving things from God, maybe because we've all got too busy or too preoccupied with other things. Maybe we have lost faith that God still speaks today. And if he does speak today, our reckoning is that it would seem highly unlikely that he would speak to someone like me. What would be the point in speaking to someone like me? That's how our argument goes. Samuel was just a boy. And what's interesting for me is that as he is called three times, he gets up three times. Samuel was destined to become a great man of God. And if he were to share God's message with the people, he had to learn first and foremost to listen to God in his own life. And it's interesting too that it took the religious professional, the priest Eli, a while to realize that God was trying to speak to Samuel. But when he did eventually realize, he told Samuel if the call came again to speak the scariest words any of us are ever likely to pray. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I wonder, would we dare to pray a prayer like that today for our own lives? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Imagine if we prayed a prayer like that. What if God were to ask us to do some task that we didn't feel able for? Or what if he had some completely new direction that he wanted us to go in? The possibilities when we pray a prayer such as that one are endless, though they can be pretty scary. And so maybe it feels a lot safer for most of us just to drift along and to keep God at arm's length instead of truly listening and opening our hearts to him. Call then can come to somebody early in their lives, or it can also come at a more advanced stage of life. And the other thing that strikes me from our second reading is that whenever Jesus calls people, that call is strangely compelling. And these men that we heard of in our gospel reading who heard Jesus' call, they were all very different. Andrew was a simple fisherman who was prepared to play second fiddle to his more extrovert brother, Simon Peter. But once Andrew was sure, however, that Jesus was the Messiah, he could not keep that discovery to himself. And so he goes straight away to tell his brother what he has discovered. And Philip, when he discovers who Jesus is, he tells Nathanael. And so the word gets around. And what I notice in all of these conversations in our gospel reading is the graciousness of the invitations to come and see who Jesus is and what he is about. And if the truth be told, not many people over history have ever been argued into Christianity. Often our theological debates and arguments do more harm, actually, than good. And in fact, the only way to convince someone of the supremacy of Christ is to confront him or her with Christ. And the best argument that any of us can actually offer in that situation is more like a gracious invitation. And it's an invitation that says, very simply, come and see. And to me, that's what's so appealing about courses like the Alpha Course, which we're doing here in church at the present time, and many from outside the church have been able to join with us. But courses like the Alpha Course are courses which give people simply the opportunity to come together over a series of weeks to share videos and discussion and to hear from others who have met and been transformed by Jesus and his message. And so we have to meet him ourselves before we can invite others to come to him. So to wrap up, for me, vocation is not always simply about dog collars. It's more about a simple desire to be God's person in the world, whether you wear a dog collar, whether you do something completely different. And sometimes that leads us in unexpected ways. Often it's in the ordinary things of life. We get that sense of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. It then inspires our hearts, and we want to share what we have discovered with others and to invite them to come and see. And as we become more attentive, maybe Jesus does call us to a particular task that will involve much more people than just us. But the beautiful thing we discover when one lives obediently in the center of God's will is that one feels God's pleasure and one knows a strange joy, even when that call leads us outside and indeed beyond our own comfort zone. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese, and for David, our bishop. And in this time of lockdown, we pray that many people around the world would hear afresh your call upon their lives. We pray that you would help churches worldwide to simply invite those outside the church to come and see. And we pray that in your love and gentleness and mercy, you would encounter many people at this time and bring hope and purpose to their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray today for the nations of the world, and we pray especially today for peace on the streets of the United States. We pray for the new president as he is inaugurated next Wednesday. We pray for President Biden and for his whole administration, asking for wisdom and for guidance in the decisions that they take. And we pray too for President Trump as he departs his office. We pray for a healing of divisions and for new beginnings. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray today for the sick and for the poor and those in any kind of trouble. Today we pray for those who have had important surgeries cancelled and those who are living with challenging medical conditions at home. And we pray for all those who care for them in these challenging times. We also want to pray today for health professionals, for retail and delivery staff, for teachers, and for all working remotely from home in the different pressures that they face. We pray for good teamwork, for calmness under pressure, and for a right judgment in all things. We also want to pray today for those who've been bereaved, and we remember in our prayers especially Karen Hockey and her family circle on the death of her sister earlier this week. And we ask, Lord, for your comfort and strength at a very difficult time of loss. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in a quiet moment, let's bring before God any who are particularly in our thoughts or in our minds as we come to this service today, those that we know going through difficult times. It might be ourselves or someone close to us, but we bring them into the healing presence of God in the quietness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Our next hymn is a hymn, I Come With Joy, A Child of God. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. God of glory, you nourish us with bread from heaven. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that through us the light of your glory may shine in all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in our worship today. And as our service draws to a close, as we think of that call of God upon our lives, we hear of Jesus calling his first disciples in the hymn, Jesus Calls Us, O'er the Tumult.